Greetings, friends and listeners, and welcome to this program of the R.G. Hardy Ministries as we proclaim the power of the gospel. Because souls are crying, men are dying, we must engage to win the lost at any cost. I'm Sharon Knotts, and I'm excited to bring a message I preached at Faith Tabernacle Church recently entitled The Dynamic Duo. For years, the weakest link in my spiritual walk was a dismal, anemic prayer life. But events in my life forced me to make changes, and today I have an exciting, enjoyable prayer life. And you too can pray red-hot prayers. Today's message is about our two powerful intercessors, the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, and Jesus Christ, our High Priest, who are actively making intercession on our behalf. I'll be back to tell you how you can get a copy of the CD, The Dynamic Duo.
Have you ever gone through something in your life that changed you, that from that point forward in your life, you will always have the same way you think about something, perceive something, look at something because of one thing in your life that you went through? Amen? I can say that because of what I've been through the years that I went through of living in 24/7 pain in bed for months and at a time, and even and not able to get to church even for long stretches for years, because of what I went through and been through, it changed me. It changed me permanently. It did things in my heart, in my spirit, in my personality. It changed me, and all for the better. All for the better. I don't like what I went through. I don't even know how I got through it. But I can say that God, He didn't do it to me. He didn't bring it on me, but He worked it all together for my good. He brought good out of it. He worked it for me to be a better person, to have more compassion, to care more about people, to understand when they're going through something, not to condemn them and think, well, why don't you just get some faith and get healed? You better watch out what you say. You better watch out how you say about, huh, I can't believe that. I know when I was going through it, I would hear people say, you know, speaking in general, but it would hit me like a dart in my spirit. I'd hear people say, well, praise God, I got faith, and I'll never do this, and I'll never do that. You don't know what you'll do. You don't know what you'll do. That's easy to say when you're walking around healthy and no pain in your body. But let you get some number 10 on the scale pain. You know how when you go and they say, what's your pain level, 1 to 10? You say, you better get another scale. Amen. Every time I go, they have make me, what's your pain level, 1 to, I hate to even answer that. Amen. Because whatever it is, it's getting better. It's always getting better. Amen. Always getting better. So He is able, when we're going through something, He can identify with us because He's been there. And let's just beef it up a little bit. Just go over to chapter 4, Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace and help in our time of need. When I read this, I always have to stop for a moment because to me, I don't know, maybe it's just because the way I look at language, but to me it's like it is so conspicuous that it says in the negative, for we have not a high priest who cannot be touched. And you know, my thing is, why not just write, we have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities? You know, why not word it that way? Let's just put the positive out there, right? And normally, that is exactly the way the Holy Spirit would write things, because He's a God of faith and of the positive. He accentuates the positive, not the negative. So if He chose to word it this way, I mean, it just makes me think, okay, let's look at it. There must be a reason. Amen? I don't know. It's just the way I look at it. Have you ever thought of it that way? So why is He saying, to me, it's like He's answering someone. It's like He's answering some lying devil, some false accuser. It says, nobody knows what you're going through. Nobody understands what you're feeling. Nobody knows your pain, your suffering. And then, you know, nobody knows. And that may be true. in that might have a lot of truth to it, that nobody, at least in your sphere, knows exactly what you're going through, because maybe they haven't had a condition like you have. Amen? Certain things in life are just like the unspeakable grief, the loss of a child. Amen? The loss of a spouse. I mean, no one can understand that except for someone else who's had that happen. Amen? And we can all empathize, but we cannot know. And I don't ever want to know. Amen? So there are some things that maybe no one else does quite know what you're going through. I used to have people come to me and say, "Oh, Sister Sharon, I know what you're going through. My back was killing me today." I thought, "Your back was killing you today? And you drove here in your car? And you done been out shopping, and you've been here, there, and everywhere, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that, and next week you're going to get on an airplane, and you'll fly somewhere and go on vacation, and you're telling me your back is killing you? And I need help getting to the kitchen? I can't even reach up in the cabinet and get myself a bowl, and you're telling me your back is killing you?" You know, and I would get aggravated, but then I would realize they don't know what they're saying. They don't know. They don't know. They don't have any idea. They mean well. They really mean well. So just let that be. If you're on a shutting committee or if you go visit people, don't go be in there telling people, "I know what you're going through," if you don't. Amen? Just say, "I can't imagine what you're going through, but I'm praying for you." Amen? So it's like that lying demon is saying, "Nobody understands you." And you can say, But then once you swallow that, even though the scripture says that you're not to get weary because all of your brethren in the world are going through the same afflictions. I believe it says that in Galatians, the 6th chapter, and in James, I'm thinking the 5th chapter, that whatever you're going through, other brethren are going through it. But even if you can't see that in your sphere, he's going to say, "Well, you took that. Jesus doesn't know what you're going through. God doesn't care about you. Jesus doesn't care about you. If he did, why are you in this place? Why are you going through with this? How come he is allowing you to go through this? He doesn't care about you." And to me, it is like that the writer of Hebrews, Paul, is rising up and saying, "The devil is a liar. We do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." That is a lie. Because he was tempted and tried and tested in all points just like you are. That is exactly why Jesus came. So that the devil could never, ever make that statement. He cannot make that statement. Because Jesus came to be identified with us. What does it say? In all things, in the Greek, in every respect. I don't care what it is. Physical, mental, emotional, relational, spiritual, financial, whatever it is. Whatever it is, Jesus has been tested in everything. He knows what it is. Amen. Even being the resurrection and the life, he wept at Lazarus' tomb because he loved Lazarus. And he loved Mary and he loved Martha, and he saw the pain on their face. He knew it was going to be gone in a few minutes and they were going to be singing and dancing. But he felt their grief and he moaned and he groaned and he wept. Amen. And it's safe to say that he knows what he saw Mary and his brothers and sisters, and he went through the grief of his earthly father Joseph, because you notice Joseph is never mentioned again in the scriptures. And most scholars believe it's because he wasn't there. He had died. Jesus knows. He knows what it is to be acquainted with grief. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He knows exactly because he's been there. Amen. And he suffered everything. So we don't have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And the word infirmities there is going back to the first scripture we read. It's the same Greek word. Your infirmities, you've got to fill it in. You can't make it the same thing for everything. Sometimes it's physical sickness. Sometimes it's mental warfare, spiritual warfare. Sometimes it's a family problem. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's a weakness. It's something that's come to weaken you, to cast you down. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And the word touched is sympatheo. We get the English word sympathy. And the word sin or sim, again, like I explained it up front, it means together, to feel, to have a partnership, to experience something together. And the word patheo, it just means feelings, your passions. Amen? So he is able to sympathize with us even more so than the Holy Spirit when we're being tempted and when we're being tested. He is able to sympathize with us because he has been there. Amen? Somebody say he's able to save. He's able to succor. And he's able to sympathize. Because in all points he was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In every way tempted like us, because in every respect he was made like us. Now we're coming down to the home stretch. The Holy Spirit is interceding for us and with us. Sometimes he's doing it with groanings that cannot be uttered because our predicament is so precarious, whatever the reason being. Jesus is especially able to intercede for us when we are being tempted to yield to sin. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, don't turn there, but just listen. It says, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. And I always tell that if I can't say anything else, if I don't understand what's going on, if I don't have any other answer, I say, God is faithful. God is faithful. I don't understand. I don't know how, when, who, why, but God is faithful. And that shuts up those nagging lies. Amen? But God is faithful who will not. He will not suffer, or he will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but he will. He will also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear up under it, is what it says in the Greek.
Amen. Saints, this message is both insightful and powerful because it gives us the knowledge and the tools we need to pray effectual, fervent, red-hot prayers that prevail over our weaknesses and our temptations. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. The Greek word is parakletos, one who comes alongside to assist us in carrying a burden too great for us. Paul said that we don't even know how to pray as we ought. And if you've ever been there, you know how discouraging and frustrating it is. But the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses and intercedes for us, even with groanings that cannot be put into human language. He knows the will of God and bypasses our brains and our doubts and our unbelief. But that's not all. We also have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities and weaknesses. And he also makes intercession for us. Because he was tempted in all points like us, he can help us when we're being tempted. The Holy Spirit is with us on earth, and he intercedes in us. And Jesus, our high priest, is in heaven at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, and our high priest helps us in our temptations. There are so many revelatory nuggets in this message. You have to get the CD. For your love gift to the radio ministry of $10, ask for offer SK144 for the Dynamic Duo. Write to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203, or go online at rghardy.org. Remember, that's offer number SK144 for the Dynamic Duo. Our mailing address is Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203, or visit us online at rghardy.org.